Blog Talk Radio.
You can keep. This is what I brought. You may forget me. I promise to depart. Just promise one thing. Kiss my eyes and lay me to sleep.
Welcome to a special edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio. And after a few weeks off, I am back. And I have a special guest for the show today. And I think he is on the line already. Kevin, are you there?
I don't know how special I am, but I'm here.
Well, I would say there's a lot of women wrestlers who would say you are special because a lot of them have gotten breaks that they may not have gotten over a year ago, thanks to you. So I would say you're sort of a little special, I guess.
I'm all right. I'm an okay guy. I'll go with that. I'm an okay guy.
Cool. Well, it's good to hear from you again. We had you on right after the first Rise seminar and event, and a little bit before the second one. And now we're going on to the third one in 2 weeks in conjunction with the Shimmer tapings. And I know around this time, Prazak gets a little crabby and stuff because he's got so much going on. How are you doing so close to these big events?
So far, so good. The real, like, pressure cooker kind of thing probably isn't going to start. I'm going to guess the 5th of July. Around the 5th of July, if you want me to be a pleasant human being, maybe to maintain your expectations of me, maybe not talk to me on the 5th or the 6th, because that's when stuff gets real, real crazy. Because for some reason, I thought it'd be smart to book a 4-day tour, July 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, giving myself really only 2 days to kind of do all of the, I guess you could say, the go-home work for the Rise and the Shimmer weekend. So basically, I'm stupid is what I'm telling you.
Well, let's be honest, to be involved in pro wrestling, that's something that everyone has to have a little bit of just to get by.
Oh, yeah. Wrestling is not a business for sane people by any stretch of the imagination. We all have to be a little bit left of center to get along in this world.
No. Speaking of crazy people, I saw this on social media last night, and I got to confirm and see if these rumors are true, and that is could have swore I saw that you said you were leaving your job and your home and leaving Rise, and you're going to be the new developmental talent or organizer for the Louisiana Hip Hop Christian Wrestling Association.
if that doesn't sound lucrative, man, I don't know what does. Yeah, that was something where I'm one that usually says nobody really benefits if you put somebody on blast. Different schools of thought on that, but that was one where everything about that on the surface seems like, okay, this is just one of my friends kind of messing with me, so I played along with it for a while. But that particular name has actually been emailing me like once a month for probably 4 to 6 months, using only the subject line of the email to like do their entire message. And so it's somebody that obviously it's not anything that's actually happening. I mean, if you even have 1/8 of one clue, you can tell that this is just something that's, it's just BS on some level. But yeah, that one was just, it's kind of interesting to me just to see how far skewed some folks' sense of reality might be. And what I throw out, like, oh yeah, I'll totally do it for a deposit of $750,000 or something. So hey, roll the dice. Just sometimes crazy people have gobs of money. Why not?
Hey, that one kid who won the lottery and he started Wrestlelicious. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people thought he was full of it at first, but he actually did it. Sadly, he lost almost all his money doing it. But you know what I mean. But there are crazy people. I mean, I'm friends with a lot of wrestlers. I've seen a lot of messages that have been sent to wrestlers, and there's a lot of people who, let's just say, like, not everyone should be allowed to use social media, because, you know what I mean, there should be standards, because there are some wacky and, I guess in some cases, could even be scary people that probably shouldn't be out there contacting certain people. So, but, yeah, I got out of that work, and I got a good laugh out of that when I read it, and It brought a smile to my face, as wacky as it was. But you know, let's talk about, like, say, the last time you were on was right after the first show, right before the second one. Now you're going into three. How do you feel that everything is going with Rise is going? I mean, what are your just thoughts on the whole process of Rise and everything that goes into it, and how do you see this upcoming weekend going?
Well, I can tell you that Rise as a concept and sort of all the partner concepts that ended up rolling out way ahead of schedule for what the original plan was, I can tell you that one part of me is really, really happy and very, very humbled by how far it's come and how popular it is, at least from the seminar standpoint. Obviously, there's a fan base that's continuing to grow as we kind of go to different areas. And there's one part of me that's deathly afraid, simply because we took really March, even though it wasn't Rise, I know we're here to talk women's wrestling, but we did our co-ed show Gain in March, and then we kind of really didn't do anything but online seminars from, I think it was March 24th or 25th up until July 7th, and really had to take that time off to get ready for, if it comes off as planned, an absolutely insane back half of 2017. And there's a few things that are already out there about it, and a few that I'm not going to announce or probably can't announce until Rise 3. There's a couple of, I guess you could say, contractual type things that are still being ironed out, so I can't quite let cats out of certain bags yet. But a couple things that, for an independent promotion funded by some dude in Illinois with a whole lot of partners and people helping me along the way, there's going to be some stuff that makes people go, holy crap, this year, if it comes off as planned.
Oh, that sounds awesome, man. Hopefully everything works out. Now, for those not familiar with Rise, I'll go ahead.
I was going to say, it should, and the teaser that I can give you is, if all goes according to plan, by the end of this year, not all Rise events will have happened on North American soil, and I'll leave it that. I'll leave it at that.
Oh, that's awesome, man! Well, and great, because there is so much talent that's outside of the United States that maybe it's really hard for them to fly in for a seminar, not knowing if they're gonna make the shows or not. I mean, I can see there'd be hesitation. I know you have gotten some international people coming in, and this will make it easier for just people who just can't afford to take a transatlantic flight, you know, across the ocean. So I hope that goes well for you, man. And it sounds like, you know, there's plenty of talent out there, so hopefully that'll work out. What I want to start off with is, like, for those not familiar with what Rise is, could you explain to us what is going to be happening in 2 weeks on Friday? You know, there's basically two things going on. There's a seminar and a show. Could you let us know what's going to be happening at the seminar and plans for the show?
Of course. We have really two things that happen on any given RISE event, and we have what we brand as our world-class development seminars, where we have women from oftentimes all over, in some cases, the world. We've got people from several continents, actually, that are going to be here for this particular seminar. We've got Australia, we've got U.S., we've got Canada, we've got maybe some countries I can't quite talk about yet until they're actually in this country, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But the world-class development seminars are truly designed to be exactly that. It's not designed to be just a name. It's designed to be trainers who are among the most credited trainers in the world that typically people may not have access to because they aren't trainers that necessarily have their own wrestling school, or maybe they're folks that aren't typically in a geographic area. For example, our first two seminars had Saraya Knight as the trainer, and folks in the United States were able to train with one of the more reputable trainer of women's wrestlers, or really of wrestlers with the entire Knight family, in Saraya Knight, and they could do that in Chicago, and they could do that in Los Angeles. And this time around, we've got our seminar with Dr. Tom Pritchard, and I'm hard-pressed to think of any name in the last 20 years that is more impressive from a talent development standpoint, because that man has been like a kingpin in WWE developmental since before it was called developmental.
Yeah, he's been around a long time, training people, and hell, I'm old enough to remember watching him on Georgia Championship Wrestling. So yeah, he's been around a long time, and what I've heard, he's one of the top guys. When you talk about top trainers, you got to put him up there with the likes of like Lance Storm and Les Thatcher and a whole bunch of other guys like that. He is top notch.
And then after that world-class development seminar, we will fill in the remainder of our card for RISE 3 Medic, which is happening that night at the Berlin Eagles Club, 8 p.m. bell time. And we have only a couple matches that are sealed and ready to be delivered. Kind of coming out of RISE 2, we had a pretty involved story with a lot of folks in it, but it's going to turn into the match that we are going to see with Rosemary taking on Delilah Doom. And the main event of the evening, the Phoenix of RISE Championship, will be on the line as the former champion, formerly known as Angel Dust, now known to us as the Decayed Angel Zoe, that's a whole story in and of itself, taking on the Phoenix of RISE champion, the ballsy badass Shotzi Blackheart. And just to add a little bit more layers to that, that will be a dog collar match.
And that sounds like it could get a little crazy there. And speaking of Shotzi Blackheart, that's I mean, a lot of names have really raised their game since the first RISE, but the one that's really kind of seems to be getting out there a lot, I think she was just in overseas, is Shotzi Blackheart. She's really been making a name for herself. Had a great match at the WrestleMania Shimmer Show against Nicole Matthews, and she seems to be rising to the occasion. What are your thoughts on Shotzi Blackheart?
Well, she is the Phoenix of RISE champion. She is the standard bearer right now for RISE, and she is one that I cannot say enough good things about, and I cannot sing her praises enough. And that's something where taking any sort of bias that I possibly could have as a promoter that has her as the champion, I've shared this story on different formats before, but I had never in my life heard the name Shotzi Blackheart. I was not familiar with her or any of her history or anything until I got an email from her sometime before RISE 1 that was basically just inquiring, hey, I'd like to do the seminar. What's it going to take? And we got things set. And it's something that she made an impression from that first email. And that's something that I'll soapbox, hopefully not too much right now here. But sometimes that first impression you can make in an email about where you want to be or showing if you really want something can go a long, long way. So she reached out to me. She took the initiative. And she took a whole lot of initiative. She got herself to the Midwest from California. She did the seminar all day, worked hard in a match that night, and just absolutely made an impression on us. And she ended up getting an opportunity in Shimmer that next day. And then obviously we've seen her get some opportunities, and she's one of the six girls who makes up the RISE roster, Phoenix of RISE champion. has had some opportunities in Shimmer, has more opportunities coming up in Shimmer. And we've seen her really just work her butt off to get her name out there. And you're right. Yes, she did just get back from overseas. She was just in the United Kingdom working for a couple different promotions there. She's been coast to coast U.S. She is doing what she needs to do to get her name out there. The girl trains like nobody's business. I mean, if you follow her on social media, seems like every day you're seeing a different, thanks this person for training me. Thanks that person for training me. And it's, if you actually pay attention to where those people train, you're like, this girl stay put for longer than like 10 seconds in any one geographic area. And she's just getting herself out there and making it happen. And for somebody who's wanting to ascend in wrestling, whatever level you want to get to, that's why Rise exists, is to kind of help girls realize you're not going to do that by sticking to your 50-mile radius, working probably the same five or fewer people in this area and kind of doing your loop. If you really want to grow and you really want to branch out, you have to actually break out of that comfort zone. And I think she not only broke her comfort zone, but she like took a dump on it and they like burned it down after that, like redefined a comfort zone. It doesn't even exist anymore. So kudos to her and to so many of the girls from Rise for doing the same thing. I can say the same thing about Angel Dust. I can say the same thing about Britt Baker. I can say the same thing about Delilah Doom. These girls that we're seeing more and more in more places and in higher profile situations than they were, say, a year ago. And that's all of them getting out there and doing the work. That's not, oh, the name Rise or something is on them. That would be completely arrogant to say. Rise is just one of the many things that these talents are doing to improve themselves, to invest in themselves, to build their skill set, to get feedback, to get better, to get wherever they want to go.
You know, speaking of that, you know, I'm very familiar with Delilah Doom. I think I mentioned on the last time you were here that I saw some of her very first matches. And when she first started, of course, she just started. So, of course, she's very, very green. But you could see that she could connect with the fans right off the bat. And since the first Rise, she has just been breaking out and going all over the country too. And just, just not too long ago, I've been seeing her more recent matches here in Texas at like Wrestle Circus and Inspire. And just within the last year, she has improved so much in the ring. It's crazy. And now she's also one of the ones that's, you know, she even had her own Shimmer poster advertising her for Shimmer. So, I mean, that's a big step. So, you know, I mean, a lot of girls seem that the ones that really want it are the ones that are like Schultzy and Delilah that are really putting themselves out there. And, you know, it's kind of scary to, like, branch out of your comfort zone and go somewhere where you're not used to. But it seems like the ones that are doing that are the ones that are making the most gains out of it.
And scary, there are good things that can come from being uncomfortable, from being scary. And a big phrase that I've used for years is get uncomfortable. Sometimes I've used it as like a heel gimmick, but in real life and all walks of my life, wrestling and non-wrestling and everything in between, that phrase, get uncomfortable. When you think of anything you've ever done in your life that was just like it was exhilarating. First, you had to get a little bit uncomfortable. Or when you found success, you didn't find success by doing that same thing over and over and over again. You maybe did something a little bit different, or you added a layer to it. And getting uncomfortable and taking those risks, that's how you get better at something. Even something as simple as, say, playing basketball when you're a kid in elementary school. Whatever hand you use, you probably only dribble the basketball with that hand. Then comes that one scary day in gym class where the teacher asks you to maybe dribble with the other hand. But guess what? Then you try and like, oh man, I can do that. And you start to prove things to yourself and you start to prove things to other people. And before you know it, you've got a lot more tricks up your sleeve, and you may even have a couple extra sleeves you didn't even know you had, so you can play games at higher levels.
Exactly. And, speaking of the seminar, you know, we're talking about what Dr. Tom's going to be running the seminar, but what do you partake in the seminar? Are you just overseeing it, or do you actually get involved in the seminar itself?
This one's going to be a little bit different because we have Rise 3 for wrestling with the in-ring seminar with Dr. Tom, and we also side-by-side with that have Rise 3.1. This is the first time we've offered kind of a point one or an additional seminar the same day as Rise, or Madison Eagles and I are actually doing Rise 3.1 that we call Second Helping, where we are helping the secondary roles in wrestling. So for about roughly a third to half of the day, Madison Eagles and I will be training referees, managers, and announcers in a different level of the Berwyn Eagles Club, while Dr. Tom has the wrestlers in the ring. And then the remainder of the time, we'll actually have the 3.1 participants observing the Dr. Tom seminar, because we can't have everybody in the ring. I mean, a ring's only just so big, and I refuse to get everything so cluttered to take away from the experience of the 25 women who put their money down to be in the seminar. And after that, yes, I absolutely observe the seminar. And a lot of times I'm observing that seminar side by side with Dave Prazak, with Allison Danger. And obviously there's going to be a lot of other wrestlers around that weekend. I know Mercedes Martinez is going to be around for the Rise event. She is not officially appearing or wrestling in any capacity, so no one please construe it that way. But I know she will be on hand to help out the wrestlers and to give perspective and to give feedback. There will probably be some other promoters there. In fact, I can think of at least two other promotions that aren't even based in the United States that will be represented there in various forms. And these are all folks who are going to be watching the same seminar. And I think some folks kind of dispute or conspiracy theory that, oh, they know everything that's going on. Like, legitimately, probably, I would say between 30 and 50% of a Rise card is completely determined or blanks are filled in while that seminar is going on. Like, we'll have a skeleton of an idea, like, okay, what kind of a story do we want to tell, or do we need, say, a babyface here or a heel there, or if we want to have maybe a technical masterpiece match when we see who maybe the better technical wrestlers are. Because when you look at the poster right now, there's only two absolutely locked set matches. Well, really three, and one of those is mystery opponent at this point, because all we know is Deonna Purrazzo will be taking on a former Shimmer champion, and that's all we're saying until that day. And then everything else we have, yeah, we have the rest of the Rise roster advertised, and we have Hudson Envy, but those are being advertised as open contract matches or TBA, because those matches are going to be filled in with talent from the seminar. And we're going to make those decisions mostly probably in the back half of that seminar, after we've seen how do people perform in the ring, what are people's attitudes. Like, we've already been scouting talent through these promos and through the matches that they send. And if any of the girls are listening, I cannot stress enough, I know I beat the drum repeatedly and probably ask too much or too often when I'm saying, please send us a promo, please send us matches, because we are scouting our talent from the minute they submit the form to say they have an interest in the seminar. It's impossible to make a complete impression just in the ring in a seminar. We're looking for different variants of total package things. And I think anyone that knows me, or knows my history with Shimmer, knows that kind of one of my big claims to fame was pushing for Thunder Kitty versus Kana. So I'm not always looking for that person that is like the perfect bridge on a suplex, or the crispest, or the super crisp execution on technical wrestling. I'm looking just as much for characters. I'm looking just as much for shtick. I'm looking just as much for compelling, scary heels as I am somebody who is going to get through a blow-up drill in a warm-up or anything like that. And one of the biggest ways that we can evaluate that talent is, what do they put in before the seminar, during the seminar, and then make that decision of who are we basically betting the proverbial farm on to put them on that live event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it seemed like on the first Rise show itself, you got the majority of the girls were able to be on the show, and there was that multi-woman battle royal. So if they do put in the effort, I mean, there's almost, I don't want to say a lock, but like a very good chance that they would be on the show. And then depending on how they do on the show, they could always fill in a row at Shimmer. You know, I'm pretty sure Angel Dust and Schultze weren't scheduled for that first night, you know, until after the Rise event for the first Shimmer taping. And, you know, they both came off really good, and then the other days you had a few other girls come out on there, and they seemed to make a good impression. So I mean, you know, it pays to put in the work and where it can lead to. And Rise itself seemed like it came out right at the perfect time, because there's an influx of indie talent that is kind of leaving the indie scene and going to WWE. And from the last tapings, there's, I can name four main names off the top of my head that left Shimmer that needed spots need to be filled. And they seem to be filled by people who took the time to go and take the seminar for Rise One and stuff. So it's like, if you put it in, it leads to better things. Now that said, I think you posted
Rise Seven
about
Rise seven. Ed.
Wow.
Seven in all.
I didn't realize
no longer available to independents since last November.
So, but you had, what I was going to talk about is you had posted about being contacted by workers who don't want to take the seminar but want to have a dark match. And to me, that's like, I can't even believe people have the nerve to kind of ask stuff like that. But I don't expect you to name names or anything, but can you talk about that and your thoughts on people who are basically trying to take a shortcut in a way?
Well, on that one, that's probably, of all the people who've ever contacted me about doing anything Rise, it's two, maybe three people that took that approach. And I kind of get where that's coming from. And I'm not going to disclose the names, because honestly, somebody with that, obviously, they probably need some help and some guidance. And I would consider them like a very good candidate for someone who probably needs the seminars and the things that we teach. So I'm not going to throw a rock at them and then say, but if you give me some money, I'll teach you maybe a better way to approach that. So I'll maintain some dignity and respect there. But you know, the idea of that is it's not how we operate. And for Rise, I mean, we are seminars. We pick our talent from the seminars to work with the Rise talents. And as we've seen in, you know, history has shown, a lot of those can possibly get Shimmer opportunities. We're not going to guarantee it. In fact, the terms letter I send everybody says nothing is guaranteed except a world-class training experience, but opportunity could be there. And for me, like, it's something where I guess some of this might be showing my age a bit. Maybe some of this is just differences in work ethic or a generational thing. But to me, it's something that just does not make sense is stuff like, hey, tag a promotion where you want to see me wrestle. Let me back up a step. I understand the idea of that. I understand where that comes from. Now, if it's coming from a place of, hey, tag a promotion, and you're just trying to honestly find out maybe what different promotions are out there that you might not know about, and then you as a wrestling talent are going to try to reach out to that promotion or seek information about them to see if that's a place you want to work, and then you make the effort to go to that place to essentially apply for the job, interview for the job, and try to get a job there, that's totally fine. But so often what I see, because I get tagged in a lot of these things, where do you want to see me work? Oh, I want to see you wrestle at Rise. Well, there's no secret for how you get on the Rise card. We pick our talent from the seminars, and there are basically not exceptions to that rule. People come from our seminars. There are a handful of folks that maybe we have reached out to and invited to our seminars, but they still approached us first or sought that information, and there was something about them that made us want to take a look at those very, very few exceptions. This is something where if you want something, we want people that prove that they want to get it. I want people that want to be at Rise. I want people that realize the potential gateway that could be to Shimmer or to AWS or to any of the other partner promotions that we'll kind of reveal in time. Just to me, it almost shows, I don't know that lazy is the right word because there's still an effort there, but if there's no follow-up outside of, like, I guess I just don't understand anyone who might think, oh, okay, yes, big secret, I'm the guy behind @RiseDTWA on Twitter. Oh, man, 8 people liked this tweet. I better book this Ed in San Antonio guy. Like, that just, to me, that does not compute. And like any job in the world, it's not like, you know, Target is just going to call you out of the blue and say, hey, would you like to work in our sporting goods department? Or I saw on Twitter that Ed in San Antonio liked a tweet that you should work at Target. That's not the way a business, a valid business works. So it's, if there's any place you want to be in wrestling or any other business, it all starts with you taking the initiative to make the contact, to take the steps to get there. And I've probably gone on more of a rant from the question than was intended, but that's something that has come up a lot lately. And I know some folks look at that as, well, you're not listening to fans. That's not what it is at all. We still listen to what fans want or who fans want to see, but that's not the way Rise works. We want to actually develop the talent so we can truly cultivate who's going to be on our shows, more so than, because that's what makes our shows different. Otherwise, we're just like every other wrestling company out there where we put up a poster of, say, 5 to 7 matches, and then people buy tickets based on that. I feel like what sells tickets to Rise is, yes, the featured talent, yes, the Rise roster, but kind of that mystery of, who am I going to see? I think Rise is catered to that Shimmer fan that wants to really make a weekend of it and kind of take that gamble of, heck, who am I going to learn about that I've never seen before, maybe that I've never even heard of before? To me, that's an intrigue, especially when you look at, okay, it's a cheaper ticket compared to Shimmer. Let's, if we're going to be in town anyhow and we're going to travel from far off places, let's do one more night. We're going to be there anyway. And let's check out some new talent. Let's see who else is out there, but have enough control talent with, say, the, you know, folks that we've used in the past, like a Mercedes, like a Nicole Matthews, like a, you know, with our roster, an Angel Dust, a Shotzi Blackheart. You kind of know what you're going to get from some of the talent, but I think the wild card, I feel like that's the intrigue. And if we just, you know, pull names out of a hat or just completely book a card to the T, I feel like that takes away the incentive to do the seminar. I feel like that takes away a lot of what makes our cards feel special.
I actually think that was an incredible answer and response. So don't think you went too long on that. That was actually a fantastic answer. We actually have a caller on the line who's been holding on for a while, so I'm hoping he does have some questions for you. If not, I might have to cut him short. But let me go ahead and take this call. Caller calling from area code 917.
Yeah, hey, guys. How you doing?
How's it going?
917, where's that?
New York.
New York, all right.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
Hello.
Yes, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, go ahead and ask your questions. We can hear you.
Oh, okay, excellent. Kevin, I'm actually on your Facebook feed. This is David. We've been chatting offline here and there. I just wanted to check in with you and get your opinion. For someone who's never been to a Shimmer show, okay, I've never had the opportunity to been to a Shimmer show. As I said, I'm visiting family in the area, so I'm finally given the opportunity. Someone can expect from a Shimmer show? That's my first part question. And who do you recommend I should be watching for in that show?
Well, what I would tell you for what to expect from a Shimmer show is really a little bit of everything. Looking at Shimmer specifically, we are taping 4 DVDs over 2 days. So 2 DVD tapings on Saturday, 2 DVD tapings on Sunday. So it's going to play off like 4 episodes of television or 4 volumes of a DVD, as the case is here. And that's something when you look at anywhere from probably on the low end 7, on the high end like 12 matches per show. Now, I will say this much. We are trying desperately, as we have been for the last couple of years, to not have like 13, 14 matches on a show, because that just gets uncomfortably long for everyone involved.
Sure.
When you have as many talents as you have in one area from all over the world for Shimmer, you're going to get a little bit of everything. If you want technical wrestling, we've got technical wrestlers. If you want international flavors and different styles, say from Europe or Australia or Japan. Now, I'm not saying you get that on every show, depending on what talents are in, but it's a total smorgasbord kind of a thing. There's going to be comedy. There's going to be characters. There's going to be there's going to be different kinds of heat. When you look at over the years, say the kind of crowd reactions that the Canadian Ninjas may have garnered is going to be a completely different kind of reaction than, say, Saraya Knight is going to garner. Depending on what talents we actually have on the shows, it's going to be a completely different animal from just about anything you've probably ever been to. And I will say this, the Shimmer fan base is probably among the most fiercely loyal fan base of any wrestling company. I'll say it's the most fiercely loyal fan base of any wrestling company I've ever worked with. And okay, I think that just feeds an energy, because to actually have fans still engaged after that many days and that many matches, by the time you get to the main event of the final taping, I think speaks to the talent and to the fans there.
Very nice. And also, I have to ask you selfishly as well, second part question. I am a big Impact fan, and I'm sure you've noticed that they're going in the youth direction. I know it's very hard, but they're going in the youth direction, and I'm sure they're looking at a lot of women right now. That being said, who would you say, as far as like sleepers, who do you think are sleepers to possibly look for that could wind up in Impact Wrestling from a lady standpoint?
I mean, even taking Impact out of it, just to take away potential rumor things like that, I will say this. Anybody that I have on the Rise roster, now, bad example in Impact, is one of the Rise roster members is actually an Impact roster member currently. But the other five girls that I have put Rise name on, that's basically me blatantly saying, hey, world, I think you need to keep eyes on these girls. These are people that I am personally saying I see something special in, or I want to see more out of these talents as we evolve Rise. So when we look at Phoenix of Rise champion Shotzi Blackheart, the decayed Angel Zoe, formerly known as Angel Dust, Britt Baker, Delilah Doom, the Fallen Flower Kikyo, those are all girls that I am very much personally invested in that I could see being developed into talent that performs on some variant of bigger, faster, stronger level than they are currently.
Nice. That would definitely be good to see, because I've really enjoyed Rosemary and Chelsea and Impact, and I'm very interested in seeing what they can do, you know, live and in person, but also to get the opportunity to. I'll be honest with you, Kev. In New York, we don't actually have the array, unfortunately, of women's talent that Shimmer provides here in the Midwest. So, I mean, I consider it a great opportunity to get to see talent that really we don't get a chance to see, but, you know, really to keep an eye out for, since I'm going to be in the area.
Well, it's going to be a good area to be in for women's wrestling, because when you count all of the participants in the seminar and all the talent that will be in town for Shimmer, there's going to be somewhere between 50 and 65 wrestlers in Berwyn that weekend.
Wow. That's definitely a good time. All right, guys. If anything, thank you very much, and good luck with the show coming up.
Thank you very much. We'll see you there.
Sounds good.
Cool, man. Thanks for calling in. Have a good night.
You too.
Now, for me to kind of answer one of his questions about what you can expect from a Shimmer show, and you know, women's wrestling the last year or two has gotten more of a push mainstream. A lot of it has to do with a little bit with Impact. A lot of it has to do with WWE and NXT, and because you'll get to see, like, on an NXT takeover, they'll usually have a blowaway women's match. On the WWE, they've, you know, since they brought up the Four Horsewomen and a few other ones, they've had before they've treated the matches a little better than they did in the years past. But it's usually just one match, maybe two matches. Whereas if you go to a Shimmer show, and like you say, it's two tapings, so basically each day is around 6 to 7 hours, and what blows people away that it's like, I don't know, because I don't think people think the women, a lot of casual fans, not the hardcore Shimmer fans, that's not what I'm talking about, the casual fans think that maybe the women just can't go like the men, and that is absolutely not true. If you go to a Shimmer show, you will see some of the absolute best professional wrestling you will ever see, as far as technical work, as far as other aspects, like who's a better heel in this business than Nicole Matthews? You know, who's a scarier person, more scarier person than Soraya Knight, just in the what she portrays of herself when she comes out to the ring? I mean, it is absolutely incredible what you can see at a Shimmer show. And, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts on that have really been unwavered since I first became involved very early on in Shimmer. I've been lucky enough to be part of it for about 10 out of the 12 years it's existed, other than a little break that I took reasonably recent past. my view is a great athlete is a great athlete. A great entertainer is a great entertainer. And professional wrestlers are a wonderful mix of those two things. And it doesn't matter if somebody is male, female. That's something where, though I personally still use the like hashtag women's wrestling and stuff on social media, I use that because I know a lot of folks follow that. But we need to get to a point where it's not, this is women's wrestling, this is men's wrestling, this is hardcore wrestling, this is whatever. It's professional wrestling. There's a lot of different ways that you can perform that particular kind of art, just like there are different kinds of music, just like there are different kinds of painting, different kind of spoken word, poetry, whatever you want to say. Professional wrestling is something that connects with people on oftentimes deep emotional levels. And so what you see at Shimmer are world-class athletes, world-class entertainers. And if you look at WWE and do just a little bit of history or a little bit of research, you'll find out that an astonishing amount of talent in WWE or in their developmental system right now, one way, shape, or form, came through the Shimmer systems. A really big amount of those talents have.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And also, another great aspect of Shimmer is not just the wrestlers and the wrestling, but the people like yourselves behind the scenes, because I love storytelling. That's a big thing that, you know, I grew up on the territories where they had a weekly show and you had to tell a story week to week. And the booking of Shimmer is so incredible. Like there was a couple tapings ago. The first night, I'll be honest, I was pissed off. I'm like, what the hell? What the hell are they doing? But it built between the DVD tapings to where the final show, where Team Slap and Happy wins the tag team titles after losing the first night. It was like, this is one of the greatest freaking stories I've ever seen. The last taping, you had the story between the Australians and Trifecta, and what led to all of that with Kelly Slater winning the title, losing the title. You had the rise of Shaz and McKenzie, who, in my opinion, went from an upper mid carder to a main eventer by the end of her last match, where she busted her head open and just had that great series with Shayna. I mean, just the booking and everything you guys do to make these shows what they are, I think you guys, in a lot of ways, don't get the credit. And by that, I mean you, Prazak, Danger, Portia, and I'm sure there's a lot of other names that I don't know, but you know what I mean? I think you guys also deserve a lot more credit than you guys get at times.
Well, the things that we really try to keep in mind when we are writing the shows is...
Uh-oh. We lost Kevin. Hopefully he will call right back in a second. Let me see if I can message him. Just give me 1 minute, people. I apologize for the dead air. Okay, well, I messaged him to call back, so hopefully we'll call back in a few minutes here. But yeah, like I was saying, you know, as someone who's gone to the last few Shimmer tapings, I think it's something that all wrestling fans should check out at least once, if possible, because you do get a wide variety. You have the technical wrestlers that are some of the best technical wrestlers in the world. You have characters like Leva Bates and Cherry Bomb. You have Nicole Matthews, who's got to be one of the top heels. And a real heel. I mean, she's not trying to play cool heel. She's the real deal when it comes to being a heel and even being a chicken shit heel at that. And then you have people who literally are so good at their persona, like a Soraya Knight, who actually once punched me at a Shimmer taping. But basically she's the type of person who can look at you and, cause you to want to shit your pants, basically. And so, yeah, everyone should at some time take the time to go to Shimmer. If you can't make it to Chicago, you could always go to WrestleMania weekend where they do have a Shimmer show usually, and that's an easier way to get there if you can't make it to Chicago. But we do have Kevin back on the line. Kevin, we lost you there for a second, but glad you're back.
Here I am. So, yeah, I don't know where it cut me off. I know we were talking about kind of storytelling or booking somewhere in there.
Yeah, I had just been like 5 minutes putting you guys over, and you were about to respond, but that's when we lost you.
Oh, well, just replay the tape on that twice. I never get tired of having people put me over. But now, what I was saying in short was to summarize, with the storytelling, we have usually anywhere from 4 to 5 volumes of DVDs to tell our stories on Shimmer. But what I would encourage fans to do is, in our culture today where you can quite literally hit a button and watch an entire TV series without even, you know, having your butt cheeks leave contact with your couch or your bed or wherever you're watching TV from, weekly episodic TV, like, say, a Monday Night Raw or a SmackDown, doesn't have that luxury to tell an entire story to you right here, right now. Shimmer cannot tell an entire story, say, on day one of a taping, like the story you just shared, where you're kind of like, what the hell, on day one? And by the end, you're like, oh, that makes so much sense, and I'm actually happy that I stuck with this. Is with pro wrestling and is an art form, very rarely is there a pro wrestling story that takes place entirely in the context of, you know, between the first bell to start the match and the second bell to end the match. There's a lot that goes into that. So sometimes that patience can reward you if you stick with it. Sometimes a Shimmer story might not all be told in a 2 or 3 day window. You might have to wait till the next set of tapings to kind of get that payoff to see where it's going. But I think half the fun of watching anything is maybe not knowing what it is, actually having to emotionally invest and wonder, like, God, is Slap Happy going to get a chance again at the tag team titles? Is Allison Danger finally going to get her hands on Portia Perez, or any of the different stories that have been told over the years? You can't do all of that in shotgun booking and just writing the name Portia next to the name Danger on paper and saying, there it is, Portia Danger. To get people to care about it, you've got to give it a few more layers.
Yeah, and like I say, I think you guys do such a great job. Like, That one show that I was talking about, like, the first night, I was like, what the hell? I did some road reports for a couple websites, and the first report basically ended with me saying I wanted to kick Prazak in the balls. And then the last one was like, I was talking about how I wanted to go give Prazak the world's biggest hug because I was so happy by the time the thing was over. So, I mean, it's a Shimmer show is a wild ride of emotions to go along with the great wrestling. So that's what I love about it. That's why I come all the way from Texas to Chicago. This will be my 4th Shimmer tapings in Chicago, and I've done pretty much all these Shimmer WrestleMania shows. So, you know what I mean? That's how much I enjoy it, that I have no problem going that far to see it.
Well, and that's why I think so many people come from worldwide. I mean, you're coming from Texas. I can name 3 or 4 fans without even, like, having to look up their names that are coming from the UK. I know there's probably our fan. We usually have a couple fans from Italy. We've got people from all over the world and I don't know if anyone's looked at plane tickets from the UK to the US lately, or from, say, Japan to, you know, O'Hare or to Midway, or from Sydney to Midway. They ain't cheap, folks. And for a fan to do that, holy crap, that's humbling that somebody would fly themselves from that far away just for the opportunity to come and watch our shows. That's amazing. And that's just one of the many reasons we all love the Shimmer fans.
Yeah. You know, I've met a lot of them. A lot of them are super cool. And stuff, but now I think I saw a post where you talked about you're the executive producer basically of Rise and you're associate producer of Shimmer. So, besides being the announcer, which you are a great announcer at, what else do you do besides the behind the scenes at the Shimmer shows?
Oh, man, I could take a cop-out answer.
Or do you even have time to do anything? Do you even have – I guess since you're doing the announcing, do you even have time to do other things during the show?
I will say this much. Doing the ring announcing and the various hats I usually end up wearing backstage simultaneously – is not a stress-free environment. I think we talked about that a little bit in November, that there were a lot of changes to the card on the Friday show, and I was getting text messages while, like, match 3 was in the ring about the change to match 4 and just crazy, crazy stuff. But the various things that where I have involvement in Shimmer is, I mean, Dave and I, partially due to geography and partially due to the fact we've just known each other for 20 years at this point, are constantly bouncing ideas or doing business end things. I mean, today he and I have talked about hotel arrangements, airfare arrangements, loosely around one story point for something that might be happening on one of the shows come July. And I mean, the titles that we give ourselves are honestly like three quarters tongue in cheek. And just to be like, okay, we probably should have a job title. I mean, he is the executive producer for Shimmer. I am the executive producer for Rise. You know what that means? It means it's our money and our ass if these shows lose financially. That's really what it means at the end. And that we have kind of the final creative say. I would have final creative say on a Rise event. He would have final creative say on a Shimmer event. Now, associate producer, what's that mean? Is basically I do whatever the hell I possibly can to keep Dave from going completely insane on those Shimmer weekends. So that involves having influence in the writing of the shows and some of the stories that we tell and how we get there. That involves sometimes actual, what some might call agent work, with communicating what we need, say, to the talents in the matches. Sometimes that may be making sure people are in the right place at the right time. That may be a lot of that will involve the things that maybe the live audience doesn't see, but maybe promos that we film for the DVD and helping people actually put together what they're going to say. Because that's one of the things that I think a lot of people don't know I've done, because so much of that isn't necessarily seen to the public eye, but helping any talent in wrestling, but for Shimmer, obviously the girls, but certainly have done this on a lot of men's shows or co-ed shows too, helping people kind of piece together the promo, not putting words in their mouth, but kind of helping them make the roadmap of how do you convey this point or these couple of points that you need to do, and do that to a time cue so that you aren't prattling on and on and on, and maybe you don't actually hit the one point that you need to make.
One of your job things that you have to do is you had to do this show the first time you were on, because Prazak was just not in the right frame of mind after the last tapings to come on, so you had to take his place. So that's also one of your jobs, I guess, is to do interviews for Dave when he's just not mentally up for it.
Well, you think either one of us trusts the other to pinch hit for us if we need to. And there are things that I can say from the Rise and then the Rise events and then the Gain event in March, where Dave has definitely stepped into things that probably I would have missed, because I'm spread way too thin on those days. And I can say that there's things that I've picked up for Dave because I know that he was way too busy, or sometimes it just making that decision because, well, maybe it's not the decision Dave would make, but he's doing commentary right now and you can't exactly go up to the live mic and be like, what do you want for the finish? It's not going to work particularly well for the fan that's going to be watching that same match, you know, three chapters from now on a DVD. But that's something where he and I think trust each other implicitly to know the overall direction of where something needs to go. And I know that I would trust him to know that, okay, these are the stories that we're telling. So using Rise 2 as an example, he knew what needed to happen with the Britt Baker and Chelsea Green match that happened on Rise 2. If I was tied up, unavailable, or having a meltdown of some kind that wrestling promoters and producers have been known to do over the years, then I would trust that he would step in and be like, hey, this is what he wants. And that's something where he and I are in positions where we can help each other immensely. And I can say this, I don't want to imagine a Rise event without Dave there. For all the different ways that he helps out. And I know that there's been a lot of things over the years at Shimmer that I've been more than happy to try to take as much stress off of Dave as I can. As much as we both have tendencies to want to micromanage and do things, we both also have this sense of sometimes we're a little too proud to ask for help. And I think he and I just kind of jump in and help each other when we realize the other one's kind of at a stress point or a freak out point.
Well, that's good. I mean, it's always good to have somebody that you know that well that can step up like that. So that's good for that. I mean, that's good for Shimmer and that's good for Rise. So I mean, that's a big positive. And now speaking of the weekend, can you talk about some of the details, like the, I don't know how to say this, like how hard is it to arrange, let's say, there's always international talent, at the Chimera shows, and there's people coming in from overseas for your seminars. How hard is it to arrange just stuff like flights, time schedule, stuff like that? I mean, what kind of time and effort goes into that aspect of booking a Chimera weekend?
A whole heck of a lot, because there's oftentimes more than, say, myself and Dave, because obviously Dave and I have certain shared costs for shared talents and things like that. But oftentimes there are additional hands in that cookie jar, because you may notice that just using past Shimmer tapings as an example, hey, Madison Eagles was on Shimmer. Oh, now she's on Shine. Oh, hey, she maybe did this Chikara show. Probably isn't flying back to Australia in between all those, because that would just get crazy expensive. So it's sometimes getting multiple promotions, multiple people, multiple airlines, a lot of different things. And it's something that I would say it's more tedious than hard. And just real world example is, there is one particular talent that I have been trying for probably the last month to actually get the travel booked on paper. But there are 4 different people that are looking to utilize this particular talent, and the talent themselves is in very, very high demand as in addition to all of that. And I am on flight itinerary revision number 9, and I'm still waiting for the final person to say it works for them before I can actually book it.
Wow.
And it is
I guess
June 22nd, and the shows are July 7th, like, or whatever today's date is. The shows are 2 weeks away, and I still have to book some travel yet.
It also doesn't help that when you do have to do stuff like that, the travel expense actually goes up the closer to the event, just because, you know, there's less seats on airlines and stuff like that. So I guess that could also be a pain in the butt, just having to, okay, you're budgeted for this much, and then all of a sudden it's just a little bit more come time when you finally do get to book it.
Yeah, it's not my favorite part of the job. The travel agent aspect, like I said, it's not necessarily hard. It's just tedious or involved, because it's not like I can say, buy you a plane ticket without saying, hey, Ed, does this itinerary work for you and the time you might have to get off work? Even if I was just going to say, hey, Ed, you want to come hang out next weekend? You and I would still have to go back and forth. I'd still have to kind of research the flights, and we have to meet somewhere in the middle and then buy the tickets. So it's, you multiply that times all the talents that between Shimmer and Rise were taking care of their transportation agreements. That's a lot of legwork. And I will say this, Dave has the far worse end of the stick than I do for that one, but neither one of us thoroughly enjoys that part of the job that much, I know.
No, luckily, like a lot of the people who come in from overseas are coming over from, you know, the UK or that area, and, you know, they speak English, but you guys over the years have brought in a lot of Japanese talent. Now, when you bring in a lot of Japanese talent, I would imagine a lot of them don't speak English or not perfect English, and I guess that would also require you guys having to book a translator or someone who could do the translating. How does that aspect work, and how do you do that?
We have some key players that are part of the team that definitely help out with that. Like for our Joshi contingent, for example, we have – one of the promoters actually from Esovation over in Japan, Hashiro Suzuki, is fluent in English, and he takes care of a lot of that. And then somebody else that helps out a lot that comes in from the New York, New Jersey area named Matt Nordstrom, who helps out a lot with that. So between those two, and honestly, I think people may take for granted, just because somebody doesn't speak, say, perfect English, doesn't mean you can't communicate with them, because a lot can be done with body language, a lot can be done with facial expression. And I can tell you this, there are some of the Joshi talents who I have probably said, or we have probably exchanged 20 or fewer words that we, honest to God, just understood between each other, but we still consider each other good friends, and we still have a great time every time we're in the same general vicinity.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. So we've done about an hour on the interview here. I've hit a lot of points that I had, but I'm sure there's a lot of things that I'm not even touching. So I'm going to give you the opportunity to bring up anything you would like to get out there, or any aspects of the show or seminar you'd like to talk about now.
Well, I'll say this much. I mean, I don't know if you're on a time constraint. I'm not really on a time constraint of any kind for tonight. But and God knows it's not getting me to talk. That's the trick. It's getting me to shut up. But really, just with Rise, the support of the fans is going to be more important than ever when we get into this absolutely insane back half of 2017. In any way that you can support, we absolutely appreciate it, whether that's a ticket, whether that's a DVD, whether that's a video download, whether that's any of the posters or things we have in our online shop. These things all help a whole heck of a lot, because I think on the surface, when you see things like, I mean, it's not hard to do math. Okay, I just said there's 25 girls. I very publicly stated the seminar was $100 a head. But believe me when I say, like, $2,500, that doesn't cover a whole heck of a lot, because buildings aren't free, rings aren't free, Dr. Tom Pritchard's aren't free, various talents being flown to Chicago and paid to wrestle on this event. Like, that, there's a lot of expenses. And I think on the surface it seems like, oh, man, this thing's got to be a cash cow, when in reality, I'm really just trying to help it make sure it breaks even. As long as it doesn't get to a point where it's losing money or it's, like, hurting my personal finances, we can keep Rise going. But we won't be able to do that without the great support of the fans, especially when we get into the craziness of this year, because we have some amazing seminars lined up. What we have cooking for September, I still can't quite process in my own head that is what most likely is happening. Like I said, a couple contractual things we're still ironing out. What we have on deck for November is going to blow people's minds. And then bookmarking our year, or I should say bookending our year in Los Angeles, going back to LA with AWS on December 1st and 2nd. If the stories and everything goes in the direction it's going, what a first year we will have had.
Sounds great. And it sounds like you got, like, a lot of stuff filled up. But if you're looking for other places to have a Rise event, I strongly suggest Austin, Texas. There's a lot of girls coming up in Texas that are doing great things. And I think there was like an all women show just about a month ago. Wrestling Circus features a lot of women on their shows. So when you have the time, because like I say, you're extremely busy, you might want to look into maybe doing something here in Texas.
Yeah. There's a lot of different areas that are on what I've kind of started calling my wish map. And it's not just a matter of going to a geographic area to do a seminar and a show. It's finding that right combination of partners, because our formula is really trying to run with somebody else. Number one, it helps share expenses and everybody kind of wins on the business end there. But number two, for a seminar talent, that might be two potential bookings that they might be able to get that weekend, or make an impression on at least two promotions and start to build that network of talent. I really don't want to kind of waver from that formula. And it's something where I'd never say never on any territory. In Texas would certainly be a great place to go. Like, I certainly know a lot of the girls that are in or around Texas. I know Sabotage Wrestling just did a show in, I think it actually was Austin, Texas, not too long ago.
Yeah, that's the
featuring
show
featuring a lot of girls that I think very highly of. And I've seen what Sabotage is doing. I think they're doing some very positive things, and I wish them nothing but the best. So that's the other delicate territory, is I don't want to go someplace and potentially step on someone else's toes, because the idea of Rise is I want to work together with as many wrestling promotions as possible to get past what I guess I'll call the independent wrestling pissing match, where I've seen it so many times, where it's just, so people fighting for the same fans, or like 19 promotions running out of the same building, and half the time half the rosters are the same between the shows anyhow. So is there really any difference between an ABC and a ZYX promotion? Not really. Like, let's work together to make wrestling better, to get more product out there for fans, so that we can actually sell more tickets, sell more videos, rather than, okay, this promotion is going to run Friday number one, I'm going to run Friday number two, then Friday number three. Like, let's work together on doing some stuff. And yeah, I've talked to, Brian is one of the main guys behind Sabotage. He and I have talked loosely about possibly doing like a Rise title match at some point. Like, we haven't committed to anything, but I've had conversations with Sabotage in the interest of what can we do to work together. we certainly haven't moved any mountains or anything, but the conversations have at least taken place, or they're starting to take place. And we've had those with Sabotage in a lot of other places too. I mean, the Phoenix of Rise Championship has been defended at, God, six different promotions now, I think, five or six different promotions, not counting Rise. So it's something where we want to do what we can to help out everybody. Obviously, everyone's going to have their own financial interest and their own, you know, product creative interest in mind. But to, when you can truly find those people who want to be collaborative and work together, like I have with Dave, like I have with Bart out in LA, like I have with partners I can't yet disclose we're working on for the back half of this year, that's really what we're looking for. That's the dream right there, is to have people who honestly want to help each other out. You know, Dave and I have built our relationship as friends and as business partners over 20 years. I'm not going to, you know, have 20 years to kind of get Rise off the ground. So to find similar-minded people that we can pull off the similar idea, that's going to take a little bit of time, but we want to make sure we do it right. Because I could just pick almost any building anywhere in the world and drop a ring in it and say there's a seminar, but as soon as we sacrifice our quality or we sacrifice our laurels and our morals, that's when what's special kind of goes away. And we want to continue to make it more special and not have that balloon deflate.
Mm-hmm. Now you mentioned like the different promotions that you've had some of the girls on. I'm a correspondent on the Uncle Mike and Tom show. And I know that Angel Dust and Schultzy wrestled on the indie show that they threw for the first time and stuff.
Yeah, that match was number two in the series of Angel Dust versus Shotzi for the Phoenix of Rise. Yeah, that was Independence Pro. That was like the 17th of March, maybe, somewhere in there. But yep, that was Shotzi's first successful defense of the Phoenix of Rise Championship.
Yeah, they told me they were really happy with the match and the performers, and they thought they were great, and they said you were a big help to them too. So, yeah, just wanted to throw that out there. And stuff. So I'm going to go ahead and we'll go ahead and end the interview at this point. But I want to give you a chance to plug everything you have to plug, because I know you have quite a bit. So feel free to plug anything you want.
Cool. All right. Website wrestlingpipeline.com. Honestly, website isn't the most impressive thing in the world. About all we really use it for is to drop major news articles, and that's actually where you fill out the form to sign up for the seminars. So wrestlingpipeline.com for seminar info and to actually sign up for those. You can also get to our store directly from there. Our store for tickets and everything else is pipeline.equidecwid.com. Still openings in the Rise 3.1 Second Helping Seminar with myself and Madison Eagles, July 7th in Berwyn, Illinois, for referees, managers, and announcers. $50 registration. Register at wrestlingpipeline.com/Rise. Facebook and Twitter at Rise DTWA for all Rise things. If you want to follow my personal accounts, honestly, just follow the company accounts. You'll figure out where the personal accounts are. This is about getting the talent and the product out there. And I would say keep your eyes absolutely on anyone that we have called the Rise roster, because those six girls, Shotzi, Angel Dust, Britt, Kikio, Chelsea, and Delilah, like what I've seen from those six girls, I try to keep in touch with every one of them at least, you know, a time or two a week just to see what's going on and to try to help any way I can. Because I think people may think it's me maybe just trying to like live a gimmick or something online, but I mean it from the bottom of my heart when I say that my girls, anybody that's been through Rise that I call my girls mean the world to me. And it would also mean the world to me if you fans come out and support my girls, our team for Rise and for Shimmer July 7th, 8th, and 9th, or by purchasing the videos when they are available.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks, and hopefully get a chance to talk to you at the events and everything. And I strongly put over that if you're in the Chicago area, do whatever you can to go to Rise and Shimmer, and you won't be disappointed. So, Kevin, thank you very much for doing the interview, and I hope you have a good night.
You too. Thank you very much, Ed.
No problem. Have a good one.
you can keep. This is what I brought, you may forget me. I promise to depart, just promise one thing. Kiss my eyes and lay me to sleep.